Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul White. It is the 25th day of September, and I thank you for joining me on today's DDP. We're going to get into continue the conversation that Cain has with the Lord in Genesis 4, and we'll do that in a moment. Before that, it's Saturday. I'd like to tell you about what's coming up. I can't wait for you guys to hear the message that was on my heart this week, and I did not have anything recorded already from the road. We will have the next several weeks material from the road because we did the Chapin meeting yesterday, and we do the Flowery Branch meeting tomorrow, and then I'm in Poplar Bluff, Missouri next Sunday. Check my website if you're interested in those meetings, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule. So the next 3 weeks after this one tomorrow, we will have three consecutive road sermons from these various stops. That'll take us up into the latter part of October. Okay. Not having anything, that means I have to figure out what to do during the week. And I don't like to just take old stuff. It's happened that I've sort of put back up because I thought people needed to hear it. But man, that's rare. Most of the time, I try to deliver new content. And it usually is going to be something I'm working on or wrestling with or have on my mind that I just haven't had an opportunity to preach somewhere. And this particular one is called, Is Jesus Reluctant? And it has a question mark in the title because it is a question that I ask from the very top of the message and then we try to answer. And I use a story from Matthew 15, where Jesus goes into Damascus, into the land of Tyre and Sidon, and encounters what the book of Mark calls a Syrophoenician woman. This is a Palestinian woman, a Canaanite. And he has an odd encounter with her, particularly from the Matthew account, where it appears that he is blatantly ignoring this woman. What does that tell us about Jesus, and what does it tell us about this woman, and what we learn there, can we translate that into Jesus' day? Because if Jesus would ignore someone then, why wouldn't he ignore someone now? If he was reluctant and slow then, why wouldn't he be reluctant and slow now? And for years I've landed on, well, he came for Israel first, he wasn't there for them, and so they need to understand that. But it hasn't settled well with me for a while now, because what you see in Jesus is a reflection of the Father's heart. So if Jesus is really ignoring Gentiles, then the heart of the Father was to ignore Gentiles. And I cannot land there, because we can say something like, well, he's not going to ignore us because we're in the new covenant. But what we know of God, we see from Jesus. That's the clear picture we get of the Father. So what can we take from this story? And as you can probably already tell by my introducing it, my landing spot is not where it has ever been before on this. And I can't wait for you to hear it. I think it's going to open your eyes about that passage. I think it's going to give you some things to think about. And I think by the time you're finished with the message, you'll have a solid answer to the question, which is the title. Look for it tomorrow. Is Jesus reluctant? Wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can hear that full sermon. It's about 46 minutes long, somewhere in there. And I think you're really going to like it. Okay. I don't have a ton today, but I do want to deal with the last phrase from Genesis 4:14. Let me read the whole verse. Cain says, "Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." Isn't it interesting that Cain knows that what he has done to Abel has set up a course of events in the natural world whereby the blood of his brother that's fresh and warm on the ground will be avenged by every person Cain meets? How does he figure that out? This is a fascinating look at the psychology of humanity. It's also a fascinating look at the power structures, the revenge structures of the systems of this world. Remember, the last few days we've talked about the fact that the foundation of the world, a phrase that appears several times in the New Testament, that statement really is talking about the foundation of the system of civilization, and that that system was built on the blood of Abel. It was built on the murder of Cain. Jesus even says, all the blood shed from the foundation of the world, from the blood of righteous Abel. He starts it there, the kickoff spot for that foundation. And that system is built on reciprocity. It's built on violence. It's built on anger and revenge. And Cain doesn't need a school to teach him this. He doesn't need a tutorial. He knows automatically, I've shed the blood of the innocent. Everyone that meets me is going to want to kill me. Now, where I think the shameful thing when we deal with this story is that we haven't spent a lot of time thinking about the system of reciprocity because we're so busy thinking literal. Most of us have read Genesis 4, and when we read verse 14 where Cain says this, we walk away with one question. Well, where's all these people that are going to want to kill him? I mean, Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. Who are all these people outside that want to kill Cain? And I hope you can see, if that's the question you walk away with from Genesis 4:14, you missed the biggest picture. We're not supposed to sit around and wonder about the people that are going to kill. What we're getting here is not an insight into the historical origins of everybody on the planet. What we're getting is an insight into why the planet works the way it works, why the systems of man exist the way they exist. And so the question we ought to be asking is, how does Cain know this? How does he know that everywhere he goes, everyone's going to want to kill him? Because something happens inside of him. Something happens inside of us that's innate. It's natural. The natural man fights from the place of the blood of Abel. He does it automatically. And this is why the kingdom of God is so vital, because it stands in opposition to that natural man. It does not allow for the human response of reciprocity. It does not allow for the human response of violence. This is also why I don't see an end game where God gives up on being the Prince of Peace and decides to go ahead and respond the way the kingdoms of the world have always responded. Oh, okay, so it didn't work for me to save people through the peace of the cross. What I'll do is just slaughter everyone. That would be God giving up on the kingdom way and going back to the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus speaks better things. So the real question to walk away with is not where are all these people that are going to kill Cain, but how does Cain naturally know it? Because we naturally belong to a system we need redeemed from. And that is why we need Jesus. Yet one of a million reasons why we need Jesus. More from Genesis 4 tomorrow. See you then. God bless.